Hey, welcome everybody. So, I've been doing more thinking, learning, and growing, so in this episode, I'm going to start defining even more what it means to be an irreverentist. I hope you're enjoying this irreverentism series, because I know I'm enjoying making it, and I think that it can actually be really helpful to a lot of people. When I started all this irreverentism, it was just going to be about like being bizarre for the sake of it. But now it's come to mean so much more. I feel like I was guided to the term, and it's finally starting to show its true meaning to me. To be an irreverentist means to have no respect for what people think is normal. I don't mean being an asshole. I mean no respect for the self-imposed mental prisons that people build around themselves in the name of normalcy. Just like time, there is no such thing as normal. It's a mode in which people think. It's completely subjective. And it's their default mode in which they compare their experiences. Well, to be an irreverentist, it's to be anything but default. We're the synthesizers with too many fucking knobs and buttons, and most people only use one or two of those knobs. But we are the bold individuals who look at that confusing smattering of possibilities and say, let's make some fucking music. Sometimes we make garbage sounds, and sometimes we make symphonies, but most importantly, we are excited about the possibilities. With every sound that screeches from our speakers, we learn just a little bit more. Maybe we'll never figure out all those buttons, and maybe no one gets our music, but we never stop learning, and we never stop doing, and we never shy away from a challenge. You don't understand us because we aren't meant to be understood. We're meant to experience life to the fullest and help others do the same. We are bold, we are irreverent, we are life, and above all, we have fucking fun. I'm Sig Neutron, and this is Sig Neutron Sputron.
Sig Neutron Sputron.
Sig Neutron Sleazy Sputron.
What are you gonna play? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna play? What are you gonna play? What are you gonna play? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna play? What are you gonna play today? What are you gonna play today? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say today? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna play? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna play? What are you gonna do?
Hello, 8-bit breakdown.
Leave a lot baloney, motherfuckers.
So what does it mean to be an irreverentist? Well, I'm gonna do my best to start breaking it down. First of all, I don't wanna say that you have to do anything. But if I'm defining a movement, I mean, it has to have tenets, so it's sort of inescapable to not say you have to do it. Whatever, you get it. So to be an irreverentist, you have to believe in the divine, or at least, and this is a very big at least, be open to the possibility. I'm not saying you have to totally believe it, but be open to the possibility of a divine presence in a spiritual realm. Irreverentism is all about the possibilities and not selling yourself short by saying, oh, that's impossible. And the word impossible has kept so many people from finding their true potential. You don't want to be one of those people, do you? Now, I never ask you to believe anything without a reason, and the deities looking out for you would also suggest the same thing, I would assume. The basis of irreverentism is believing in a spirit realm, or at least structuring your life as if there was one. As you'll see, just even thinking that there's something more to this world can radically change your life. Just by using your imagination, that's what we're about. Using our imaginations. It'll all make sense, but first I need to uncondition you and explain what I mean by gods and the divine. When I say God, what do you think of? Some holier-than-thou almighty being that is going to send you to some fiery place of suffering if you don't believe in him or you break his rules, right? Well, would that be a god that you want to believe in? Of course the fuck not. That sounds fucking terrible. Especially since mankind has twisted the idea of God for his own ends, so nobody really knows what to believe in. That'd be a pretty messed up God to send someone to hell because there's so much bullshit out there that everybody's just confused now. Alright, so there's so much to unpack here, so I'll do my best. I believe that all the deities and gods in any pantheon actually exist. That there are universal energies that work under the banners of different cultural lenses. I believe that the names of the gods and their mythologies is what I call the interface of God. So an interface in computer terms is something like a menu or some kind of screen that you can actually interact with the computer system with. We as humans need the concept of a being or entity if we are to interact with it. Otherwise, it's just too confusing and just, I mean, I think that these energies are so out there and hard to understand that it's the only way that we can understand them is by personifying them. And that's because how else are we going to interact with something if we don't have a personified view of it? So the names and the images help us form ideas in our mind and give us a way to interact with the divine universal energies. First of all, once you become open to connecting with the spirit realm, you have to explore your own relationship with the divine and see what resonates with you. I have to stress this very much, is that your personal interaction with the divine and the spirit realm is totally up to you, and it's different for every person, and I'm in no way trying to force any views upon you in that sense. But as a general rule, drop the thinking that you're damned if you don't believe in the gods or spirit. I think some of your lifetimes, it may not even be necessary to believe to fulfill what you need to in that lifetime. Remember, we live multiple infinite numbers of lifetimes, so we gotta start thinking on a bigger scale here. If you're already happy and fulfilled, then you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. You're doing a really good job at listening and learning, even if you don't believe in the spirit realm. If you feel stuck or unhappy in life, then you may need some help, and that can come from actually connecting to the spirit realm. Because if you're unhappy in life, that means you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not following your path. You're not following your true potential. Because what I've learned, and any successful person will tell you this, is once they find their path and they start going down it, yeah, there's hurdles, but things just start to fall into place almost magically. So if you don't feel like you're in the right place in life, then you're just not following your path. And that can help with connecting to the spirit realm, because they're here to help us and we help them. And it's just a big synergistic system. So I'll explain how I view my relationship with the divine in the hopes that it can get you started on your own journey with reconnecting with the spirit realm. Now the gods, they're very crafty teachers, and they're always throwing me for loops and straight up teaching me Mr. Miyagi style. So I always speak in what ifs and maybes, because what I know now might completely change next week with some new revelation. It's a big part of why I like chronicling what I'm learning via these irreverentism episodes of my podcast, but through my adventures, here's what I think I've come to learn about the gods in the spirit realm. This is going to sound like crazy person talk, but again, just hear me out. I'm not saying this is all 100%, I'm just saying if we're going to put the human puzzle together, we got to start somewhere, right? It's mind-bogglingly complicated, but let me lay out what I think again. Let me stress what I think. I do not claim to know exactly. I want to make that very clear. These are conclusions I'm drawing from the research they've guided me to. I've spent the last month poring over mythologies and soaking up everything from theologies to history to biology to quantum physics. So this is my current theory I have as to what we are and how this all came to be, pulling from each one of those little theologies and science and everything and smashing it all together. Because I think, again, science and spirituality need to come back together for us to see the bigger picture of everything. Keep in mind, all of this is subject to change and grow as I learn more. But here we go. So I believe that there is a single source of all that is. Everything. I have no idea what this source is, but it's literally everything. You, me, the rocks, the trees, the earth, the planets, the dark, invisible matter that makes up you that you think is empty space. Some call this samadhi, others call it logos. But it's just everything. Anything you can imagine, everything that exists is one thing somehow. And it's kind of a tough concept to grasp, but I mean, you could think of this source as the singularity of the Big Bang. So, if you don't know, before time and all existence, matter was condensed into a single point the size of a pea. Think about that. Everything that we know to exist was all compressed into this super fucking hot pea that exploded into everything we now know. This isn't spirituality, that's fucking science, look it up. So we'll say that's source. For me, it honestly helps me to think that we're in the imagination of some great and wonderful being. Just as if you've ever written a story or created a character in your own mind, I think that's kind of the nature of our reality, but maybe simplified a lot. I have to speak in simplified terms because, again, I'm trying to tackle understanding something that nobody's ever figured out, you know, nobody knows. So I think we have to, and I'm assuming it's like insanely unfathomable, but hey, again, not backing down from the challenge. Now, imagine you were the single source of everything. You were somehow everything, and you were the only thing that was. If you had the power, wouldn't you think you'd split yourself into separate parts so that you'd have companions? So that your existence would have things to share existence with? Or would you want to just be lonely and the only thing that was? I would want to create things to interact with and work against and overcome and grow and learn. I mean, if I was just me and everything else, I think that would be a nightmare. I think this is where ancient consciousnesses, or as Jung would call them, archetypes, I think this is where they were born. Gnosticism kind of touches on this idea too, and I think you can look at these ancients as the titans of Greek mythology, or even elder horrors of H.P. Lovecraft's mythology. Yes, another tenet of irreverentism is I believe we channel clues to the nature of our universe into our books, movies, and supposedly fictitious stories. And I truly believe there are clues hidden in the Cthulhu mythos, as well as everything from Star Wars to Dune. But we'll get more into that some other time. I could probably do a whole episode on just dissecting things and how I think that they actually are answers in there. But that's going to be a fun one. Now, I think these ancient beings used to incarnate into physical bodies like us. There doesn't seem to be much mythology that I can find about Titans, but some of what I've read seems to imply that they had to figure out life just like we do. So then came the next generation of gods or ancient beings, and when the Titans ruled, that was the golden era. And everybody was good, and everything was abundant, and it was good. But then the next generation of gods or ancient beings came along. Like, think of Zeus and the Olympians, or like Shango and the other Orisha. Now it's that generation's turn to take over through whatever means. I mean, the Olympians took it by force. Who knows? But when the Titans ruled, it was the golden age, and everything was perfect. But we see in mythologies around the world that perfection gets old. So something ruins perfection and begins a cycle of chaos and change. But through chaos comes growth and learning. When everything's perfect, nobody has to aspire to do anything. So I think that we're waist deep in that chaos. We're so far into it that we've forgotten who we are. And I believe that we're an even further generation in this divine family tree, going all the way back to source. I think it's our time to figure out this and come back to connecting with the source and all that is. And in the very distant future, maybe that will happen and we'll have another golden age, and then something will probably ruin it again. Who knows? I think we're embodiments of various mixes of these archetypal energies. I think that's why we have the personality traits we do. I believe that we each resonate with different deities. And once you start looking them up and you start looking into the polytheistic religions and stuff, all of the gods and deities are very relatable, and they have very human characteristics. It's just the monotheism that they seem very unattainable, and like it's just God and he's all knowing and all powerful and totally unrelatable. But I don't think that's actually how it is. I think that the older generation are much closer to source, so they're in a sense like, they probably don't even concern themselves with most human matters now. Maybe some of them do, but I think the younger generation that's closer to us, they're the ones that sort of trying to help us learn and grow and things, because, you know, we're what comes after them somehow, and we're all a part of them. So now this is where things get complicated, and I'm still trying to figure this part out. Well, I'm trying to figure a lot of parts out, but in addition to the deities and the universal archetypes that work with us, we also have our ancestors and other spirit guides that are both helpful and malicious that we've had since we were born or that we've picked up along our lives. So essentially, we're the captains of a strange and diverse ship of energies, personalities, agendas, and opinions. It's why we talk to ourselves inside of our head, and we hear the voices of the divine and those who have passed all the time. And I think that most of the communication comes through via the universal language of feelings. A feeling could be a thousand indescribable words, so why wouldn't they communicate with us via feelings? Like, do you have mood swings or long stints of depression that are just completely inexplainable, and you're like, what the hell is wrong with me? Well, I believe there's a good chance it has something to do with something trying to communicate with you via the spirit realm. It could be an ancestor, it could be a deity, who knows? But it's obviously, if it's upsetting you and you can't get your mind out of it and you are actively, why do I feel this way? I think the answer might lie in spirituality. So what's the point of it all? Well, I'm not sure yet, but I keep coming back to the point that I think the point is to create, grow, and learn over infinite lifetimes. I'm sure there's more to it than that, but that seems like a starting point that makes the most sense to me. I believe our bodies are just physical spacesuits, and our minds are eternal. When we're in the spirit realm, we remember everything from all of our past lives to maybe even our future lives. I don't know, because time gets weird over there. When we pass through the veil back into physical body, we forget almost everything because that's how we learn, from mostly a clean slate. And this is ancient Kemeticism. It's when you pass the veil, you forget, and that's kind of part of it. Also, just what rewatched Lady in the Water, and that's kind of what they were saying too. There's definitely hidden messages in Lady in the Water. And they talk about how that's the point of the game, is nobody can remember who they are, and that's the moral of the story, they say. So think about that. I'm telling you, M. Night Shyamalan has channeled some major stuff into his movies, and I'm gonna have a whole episode about that, breaking that down. But yeah, crazy. I just watched Lady in the Water recently, and it blew my mind because I was like, oh my God, this is our fucking life. We've been living Lady in the Water. So this is why I don't believe there's such a thing as an eternal hell. What would there be to learn from a place of eternal torment? You just get thrown in there and forgotten about. There would be no growth, there's no way to learn, no way to better anyone's self. I think the idea of hell has served us pretty well throughout history to get us to this point in our development, but now it's time we start shifting perspectives for the next phase of growth and learning. The idea of hell has installed us with morals, and it's the concept was able to carry us through the dark ages and believe that, like, no, I shouldn't be just a fucking savage person and kill people because there's consequences. And I'm not saying there aren't consequences for being a bad person. There might be some type of place that is like hell, but I don't think that it's an infinite place, because there would be no point to be stuck in somewhere infinitely. I don't know. It's just my thoughts on that. Again, I don't know for sure, but this is what makes sense to me. And I feel like if things make sense, that's probably the way they are. I don't know. We'll see. So now that I've given you a horribly simplified overview of something completely unfathomable, well, let's talk gods. How can we understand our relationship with them? Well, just like people, the deities are all very, very different. And your personal relationship with them is absolutely between you and them. How do I view my relationship with them? Well, they're my teachers. I think of them as wise ancient badasses who help me and help us learn and grow, and because we're a part of them. We're essentially kind of like their kids, and they're trying to teach us. They craft our life circumstances so that we can learn. You don't even have to know they exist to learn from them. Your entire life is them teaching you in some form or another. That's why believing in them is up to you. Because regardless, they're going to be teaching you as long as you are in this physical plane and you're alive. Because life is lessons. That's the whole point of living. Do you not learn something new every day? Well, if you're not learning something new every day, then you should change up your patterns, because you're becoming stagnant. We should always be learning something new every day, and we should always be thinking and questioning and inferring and learning and bettering ourselves. Yeah, we make mistakes, but we're not defined by our mistakes. We're defined at the impact that we leave on the world, and every day is a new day to start something new and have a fresh new impact on the world. Just because you've screwed up in the past doesn't mean you have to continually screw up. Do you want to waste the rest of your life because you screwed up once or a couple times? The gods are understanding. They know we're not perfect, but we're here to learn. That's the point of it. So the sooner you start learning and start getting excited about learning, the better your life is going to almost instantly start getting. It's crazy how fast it works. And the gods can dish out some hard lessons, but if you know you're learning, you'll get through it that much easier. It's impossible to win a game you don't know you're playing. And once you accept all the hurdles and challenges of your life as something to be excited about, then your whole life, it becomes like your own personal video game. And it's amazing. You get excited. You don't get depressed. You're like, oh, shit. Okay, now I got something to overcome. Let's fucking do this. Like, yes, it gives you a drive and a fire. So think of your life as your own personal video game or your own personal story. You're writing the season of your life and make it as exciting as you want. But that's the thing, is you don't have to. That's the great beauty of it all. And terrible thing is that nobody has to do anything. You don't have to work towards spiritual growth. You don't have to work towards bettering the world. You don't have to do anything. What you do is up to you. And then you'll just come back in another life, and then maybe you'll decide to do something then. It's totally up to you. But there are no accidents or coincidences. Everything that happens is a result of something. And, you know, I know some of you are saying, well, why the hell do they let bad things happen? Well, I believe that the spirit realm has laws just like our own. I don't know them, but I can infer that bad shit happening is a result of free will. Free will is mankind's greatest blessing and its greatest curse. Think about it. Do you want to live in a world where our freedom to do whatever we want was somehow capped or limited? We would essentially be automatons. If we were all robots, there would be nothing to learn. If we weren't able to screw up, then we wouldn't be able to learn. It would just... we'd have the bumpers on when we're bowling, and who likes playing bowling with the bumpers, man? I don't know, someone that doesn't care about improving anything or trying to get better. Yes, bad shit happens. The system isn't perfect, and I think it's up to us to figure out what's wrong with it and how to fix it. What if the gods had to go through the same thing? Concepts like samsara say that we're stuck in a cycle of death and rebirth and suffering until we achieve enlightenment, and then we don't have to reincarnate into physical bodies anymore if we don't want to. There's a whole wonderful cosmos out there, and I believe this physical reality is our training grounds to ready our infinite consciousness to be a part of that next level. Everybody talks about heaven, but nobody... it's like, what is heaven, and what do you do when you get there? I don't know, I just sit around and be perfect all the time? That kind of sounds boring, actually. I think that the deities, the older archetypal energies, they've already achieved that next level, and they're trying to help us do the same. The Hermetic principle, as above, so below. I believe the spirit realm is just like our realm. It has a hierarchy, an economy, and everything, except their economy is based on energy. But that's like the currency of the spirit realm. Before we can be a part of that world, we need to learn how to get our shit together. If you need proof of how we collectively do not have our shit together, just look at this geopolitical climate. I'm really starting to believe that this reality is just a hyper-realistic virtual reality training ground. Why do I believe this? Well, here's another tenet of irreverentism. Start studying quantum physics and do your best to understand it. I was guided to dive into it, and at first it was way over my head. But again, I accepted the challenge, and I set my mind to it, and I said, I'm going to fucking learn this shit. And now I'm learning things that are absolutely boggling my mind, and there are major scientific discoveries happening that are proving the nature of our reality is holographic. It's mind-blowing, and nobody's talking about it because everybody thinks, oh, quantum physics, that's too hard to understand. If we need to make quantum thinking and quantum physics go viral and go mainstream, people need to know about this because we're still stuck in the old Newtonian Darwinism things, that survival of the fittest, but nature doesn't operate on survival of the fittest. It operates on teamwork and abundance, and everybody wins. Like if we need to understand how we can operate, we need to start looking at nature as another tenant. If you want to know how something works, look at nature. Nature is very important, and we as humans, we have the mind and capability to go against nature, which is good because we can learn, but also at some point we have to learn that we're working so hard to go against the current, man. Like if going with the flow is so much easier and so much better. Anyways, it's absolutely paramount that we understand what the breakthrough leading science is telling us. Basically, to put it simply, if you break us down into the tiniest of particles, it turns out we're nothing at all. We're just waves of energy. Matter is an illusion that is a scientific fact. That sounds fucking crazy, but it's science, bro. Again, when you think of the atom, what do you think? It's these tiny little balls circling around another ball, and that's the particle, and those little balls is what makes us up. It's not like that at all. They're not little balls. They're little, like, wave patterns, and it's fucking nuts. You gotta start looking it up. I'm gonna do an episode of just me trying to help you guys understand quantum physics, because it's very important. I've also been spending a lot of time looking into ancient civilizations, and this is something you need to start learning about too. So what do you think of when you think, where did humanity started? Imagine that for a second. For me, I thought back to cavemen, and then jumped ahead somehow to like ancient Egypt and Greek, and then all the way up to today. But there's evidence that supports the facts that humans are way fucking older than we've ever even thought. And the crazy part is our DNA has never changed since we've been on the planet. They still haven't found our links to the other, like the Cro-Magnons and all this stuff. They have found no link. And the crazy part is when they started checking out our DNA and what makes us human, human chromosome number 2 is actually a cut and spliced gene where they took 2 different chromosomes, cut them together, removed all the junk stuff, and actually deliberately spliced 2 genes together, and human chromosome number 2 is what makes us human. So there's actual evidence of genetic manipulation that created our bodies. So if that doesn't blow your mind, then I don't know what does, because whether you want to believe in the typical idea of God or not, that implies conscious creative intent in our creation. There was some kind of intent. It wasn't just fucking random. We're not all here just randomly. I feel like it's way more ludicrous to just believe that the way things are right now is just random. Oh yeah, we just randomly developed how we are. That is insane. Why would you believe that over the fact that something had a hand in actually creating things and bringing us to the state of where we are now? That makes way more fucking sense, and it seems way less ludicrous than just to believe that it's random. Like, come on. Think about it. Well, anyways, I was getting kind of off topic here, but there's also evidence that shows that humans, ancient humans, were way more civilized and advanced than we even are today. Egyptologists are straight up hiding discoveries and trying to spin this story that the pyramids aren't that old. But really think about it. We still do not know how they made that shit. And all of the monoliths all over the world, we have no idea. We still can't do that today. And you think that the ancients were like somehow less advanced than us? Come on, people. Again, ludicrous to think. Also, did you know the pyramids of Giza were originally black, white, and red? Which I feel like that's some kind of a tie into alchemy, which I got to do a whole episode on alchemy that's not this one, because I believe that alchemy lays out a guideline of how we can better ourselves and achieve enlightenment and things like that. But that's for another episode. Start looking up alchemy and you'll be surprised. You might not understand it at first, because I didn't. But then I realized they were guiding us to live the alchemical processes, and I'm like, holy shit, this has been our life. So I totally believe that alchemy is somehow important. But again, that's for another episode. So we think that the pyramids, they look all primitive and all fucked up, but that's because they're old as fuck. Imagine how smooth, sleek, and modern they must have looked back in their prime. Dude, it would have looked really fucking modern and really cool. But it's just weathered with wind and war and, you know, like many, 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 many years of not being taken care of. Of course, it's going to look old. They didn't look that old when they were made. So in Vedic philosophy, they say that time is cyclical, yes. and we have what's called the yugas. And there are 4 yugas or cycles of time. Which basically there's a golden age where mankind is deeply connected with the spirit realm. Everybody knows what's up. We know who we are and we know why we're here. And then something bad happens and throws us down into the darker cycles. And then we fight through it all. And then we forget who we are and we fight through it all. And then we come back around again to an age of understanding. Coupling this with the fact that time doesn't exist, I believe that instead of thinking in the cycles of time, I wonder if it's our actions that keep us in the dark age or in an age of enlightenment. They say the cycles last for X amount of years, but I think their duration depends entirely on us. because it's our intent. I think that if we're working towards a golden age of understanding, we'll find it. But if we don't have people actively pushing for it, we're going to stay in the dark age and we're just going to fight each other and who knows, and probably wipe everybody out and then we'll have to start all over again. That being said, I think the point of this reality is to challenge ourselves, to not impose limitations on what we are capable of, because once we do that, we instantly close ourselves off to the infinite possibilities of the universe. They say that the human body is the greatest supercomputer ever built. Have you heard people say that? Because I've heard people say that, and it makes sense. Well, do you think the greatest supercomputer wouldn't come with its own internet capabilities? Think about that. I believe, as Greg Braden puts it, consciousness informs itself. Meaning, what I mean by that is, we created the internet to give us an understanding of what we are already capable of. Again, just like with video games or virtual reality, if you went back in time to, say, the biblical times, and you were a god, and you were trying to explain to people, okay, guys, this is, you know, it's kind of like you're living in a virtual reality simulation. You know, can you get that? You know what I'm talking about? Those goggles you put on and then the computer boots. Ah, shit, wrong time era. Yeah, okay. You know what? We're gods. There's a hell. Be good. Don't kill each other. And we gotta get you guys learning some technology before we can explain to you what's really going on. So now that we live in an era where we have the context of things like virtual reality and the internet, I believe that we've created something that we already have inherently in our brain. I think there's a psychic internet, the collective conscious. There's this idea of the collective human consciousness that's like prevalent throughout all kinds of spiritualities and all kinds of things. And I believe that is the true internet. And I believe the internet that we created is like the training wheels for humanity. So there's this universal network that we can tap into, but look at the state of the internet with all the toxic trolls and vitriolic hate. Do you really think we're ready to start tapping into a psychic network of person to person with our brains? Hell no! That's why we have the internet. And the internet is actually super young. So once we start to grow from there, I believe we'll slowly be learning how to use our human Wi-Fi. We're starting to get ready for it. Some people are more ready than others, but I really think it's really important that we start thinking of our etiquette and how we use the internet, because it's such a powerful tool, but it's just being abused, and there's all this knowledge out there, but people just want to be shitheads and shitbags and hate everything. And, you know, think about if that was in our brains and everybody was just sending out this like constant waves of hate, we're all going to go insane. Well, we all are going insane because of what we're pumping into the internet. So if you want to start making change, start thinking about what you're pumping into the internet. We are what we eat, and our reality is what we feed it. If you want to better the world, you actually have the power. Start thinking about the changing everything starts with looking inside of ourselves. It's really true. It sounds cliche, but if we want to start making change, we have to focus on ourselves first, and then we can help others. And there's another tenet of irreverentism is we have to look inside ourselves and fix ourselves first, and then we can help others fix themselves. So in a future episode, I'm going to tell you tips on how I've been doing that and how I think that that's possible. But it's very important that you be honest with yourself and start looking at your habits and look at the way that you perceive the world and look at the way what you post online and look at the context and the attitude and the spin which you put your words out into the universe. Look at it, because I think the universe, the internet is our training wheels for the human internet. Yeah, I know this sounds insane, but I believe we were given imaginations for a reason. You think just because we're in the modern age that we have it all figured out? Bitch, please. You know who used to think that? The Victorian era and any era before us. Oh, right, brothers, your flying contraption is the stuff of silly dreams. Ha ha, that'll never take off. Like, how many times did all of the free thinkers and the visionaries of history say, guys, I'm telling you, this is how it is. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, right. Like the humans can fly. So we're still in those days. We're still so young intellectually, and what how we understand the universe is still so young. And we have to be open to the possibilities of more. I truly think that ESP abilities, telepathy, and things like that are absolutely possible, but we just haven't figured out how to do them yet. Just because someone hasn't yet doesn't mean that we can't. Here, I'll use this example. If I didn't know basketball existed, how would I ever actually play basketball or learn how to play it or do it? I wouldn't, because I didn't believe that it was even possible to play basketball. This is a simplified example, but the concept is the same. If you don't believe it, then you're never going to figure out how to do it. And just because someone hasn't done it yet doesn't mean it's not possible. There's a reason why the government has spent so much time doing secret projects, studying ESP and things like that. And you think that, oh, if someone's figured out how to do it, the world would know about it. But do you really, let's be honest here. If someone figured out how to teleport or read minds or something like that, you really fucking think that the world is going to know about it? No, because there's, even just if we look on a technological basis, the military has so many Blackwater black projects or whatever that we don't even know about, and they're so far advanced, and they have weaponry that we'll never hear about until like years later when it becomes declassified, because they're already light years ahead of that technology. So if people are figuring this shit out, we're not going to hear about it, because we're not paying attention, for one. So don't think that it doesn't exist because we haven't heard about it. You know, think back to even the days before the internet. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I never even thought that shit was possible. The internet blew my fucking mind. And that's another tenet of irreverentism, is we have to stop saying things are impossible and start exploring possibilities. The divine is guiding us socially and technologically, and it's up to us to start realizing that, because once we do, we can improve and learn that much faster. When I talk about how the divine energy is teaching me things, and I talk about all Mr. Miyagi style, well, it usually goes something like, I'm thinking that something is a certain way, like, oh, yes, this must be the reason. So then I start, under that mode of thinking, I start exploring possibilities and thinking about things with that train of thought or from that perspective. And then I come to new conclusions. And then the original perspective I had wasn't even right in the first place, but they set me on that path so that I could use that perspective to see a bigger picture. So this is what we have to start doing. We have to start thinking bigger picture and stop saying that things are impossible, and think that they are possible, and then use your imagination to apply that to a broader spectrum of thinking and say, well, if that was possible, what if it's this, or what if it's that? And see what conclusions you end up to, and maybe you're gonna learn something from that perspective, and then drop the old perspective, and then go with the new, and then this process starts all over again. It's very important that we adapt, and we're always open to change and new information. Everything that I'm telling you now can totally change, and I'm totally okay with that. That's why I'm never saying that I'm right. I'm saying that I might be right. I'm saying that I'm trying, but I'm always open. If someone came along and proved to me or had evidence or something that was like, here, this is the way it is, I'd be like, oh shit, well, I guess that's the way it is. The problem is when we go so far down a hole of believing something that we close off all other possibilities. That's a huge problem with what's wrong today. We have to start admitting when we're wrong, because that's letting our pride get in the way. We got to keep that pride and that ego in check, man. And if someone is showing you that you are wrong and it's obvious that you're wrong, own it and say, ah, yeah, I was wrong. Okay, cool. Well, thank you for letting me know that, and now I'm going to pick up from here and start learning more and see what else we can find. Don't get stuck in believing that you're right. We have to adapt. We got to change, man. We got to go with the flow, because otherwise you're just a stick in the mud. Nobody likes a fucking stick in the mud. So I've kind of rambled about my working theory of what we are and why we're here, and all of these points I could go into more in depth, and I probably will in later episodes, but coming up I'm going to have an episode of, okay, so how can we start being more spiritual? How can we start being practically spiritual is what I call it. Because you'll be surprised to know that practicality and spirituality go hand in hand. And once you start caring about your body and yourself and your mind, then that ripples throughout your entire life. And you may think that your own health and your own state of well-being is unrelated to your status or your standing in life. But let me tell you this, they are absolutely one and the same. And once you start taking care of yourself, your life just starts magically falling into place. Well, that's it for this episode. But if you want to find me on places that are not the podcast, you can catch me on Twitch, where I do live art at twitch.tv/signeutron. I've also been very active on posting videos to our YouTube. So if you want to see me, I'm turning a lot of the songs like Culture Vultures, Tiny Cowboy Hats, all of them, I'm turning them into videos that I'm posting to YouTube. And I would very much appreciate it if you would subscribe to my YouTube, because that in itself helps me make more videos. But it's youtube.com/bizarroagogo, BIZARROAUGOGO. There's a stork guy, Mickey Stork, selling back alley bargain babies as our picture. But yes, please follow us on the YouTubes and so you can see the silly videos and stuff. And also, I post little inspirational videos that, you know. Oh, before I go, yes, this quantum thinking thing. Today is the 31st of July. And so I'm starting this experiment of quantum thinking because time doesn't exist and the future has already happened, and we can use our brains, our consciousness, actually the way that we think and we feel actually affects the reality that we live in. Whether you believe it or not, it does. So I'm starting these experiments to actually show people the power of our brains, and I call it the wonderful day, or hashtag wonderful day. So August 3rd, 2019 was a wonderful day. Truly believe that, post about it on social media, do a video of yourself saying that it was a wonderful day, spark the conversation, because people are gonna be like, why do you say it was a wonderful day? It hasn't happened yet. Well, it's because we're using our brains to collapse the quantum possibilities and make it a wonderful day. And the more people that we have truly believing that, the more impact that it's gonna have on our reality. So on that day, again, our perception creates our reality. So if you work a job that you hate, or you got to do something you don't like, just for one fucking day, do everything you can to just enjoy it. Shift your perspective of one of hating it to enjoying it, and just see how that one day changes your life. And then if you truly go into that day with just an open mind and just being happy to be on that day, it's going to help retrain your brain, and you're going to see the possibilities of what life is like when you're not worried all the time and you're not fucking so upset and you're not so negative. And then if you can do that for one day, why can't you do that for another day? Why can't you do that for a week? Why can't you do that for a year? Why can't you do that for your whole fucking life? You can. Yes, this is the, here's the thing, that bad things are going to happen to you in life. They're supposed to. This is how it's set up. But it's how you react to those bad things that either keeps you down or elevates you. The only difference between a good and bad situation is one of perspective. So start shifting your perspective and stay on top of the pendulum, because the pendulum of life is always moving and you're going to feel it, but you can stay on top of it rather than have it throw you all over the place and fuck your shit up. So August 3rd, 2019 was a wonderful day. Please post about it, make your own posts, and use the hashtag wonderful day, and let's actually start creating our reality. This is just the first experiment, and we're going to go full bore into all kinds of other fun things once we start getting people excited about the power of our minds. So this is where it starts, August 3rd, 2019. Okay, there we go. All right. Well, until next time, stay weird, stay open-minded, and always learn. I don't know. Shit, I fucked that up.